Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening to everyone within earshot of my voice. Today is Monday, December 4, 2017. My name is Dr. Haleem Mustafa. Actually, also I go by the name of Haleem the Dream Builder. We're welcoming you to Life Success Radio, which is sponsored by Reality Books, publisher of the American classic Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author of that book is the senior great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington, and it's a book that really I encourage people to read for not just historical purposes, but for a future understanding of the blueprint that's going to help make America successful, engaging all of its citizens who are here in this country so that we don't have discrimination and other things that cause us as a country to lose the momentum to grow into a mature society. Now, Life Success Radio is a weekly broadcast that's part of the Booker T. Washington family, and I want to say this. We are, I'm quite sad in a bit, but really and happy knowing that we're right now, next week we'll be having our own different distinguished call-in number. This week is our wind down under the Booker T. Washington Speak, but we'll have our own Life Success Radio. Next week we'll have that inserted. We'll utilize the Booker T. Washington Speaks on a Saturday evening where I co-host with the founder of the publishing company, great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington. So you'll hear the number there on Saturdays, which comes on at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which in the time zone where I'm at here, It will be 7 o'clock at the time for me in Texas, and on the West Coast it will be 2 hours different from that, so it will be 5 o'clock p.m. So before we go further to welcome our distinguished guest, who is famously known as Shango, and I want to mention that Shango was our inaugural first person that I interviewed on the Life Success Radio show, and we are going into our last week here on Booker T. Washington Speaks. So Shango will be coming on and discussing a topic that is pertinent to what is on our Monday shows, right? So I want you to join me in prayer if you would. This is a tradition that we've established. So in Arabic, I'll say it. In English, I'll give you interpretation. So please pray with me if you will. Or silence, or at least send me a positive vibration. I feel that as well. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Now, from the Arabic, which I recited, I'm going to give the interpretation in English. So it starts like this. We seek refuge with God, away from the accursed devil Satan, with the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to Allah, God, the cherished and sustainer of all the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Alone, thee alone do we worship, and thy aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion of success is not wrath, and who go not astray in their mission and duty to serve you. Amen. Amen. Be it so. Let it be done. Again, welcome to Life Success Radio. We hear your voices from the womb to the tomb. As we get ready to have a real conversation, I want to say that this program we have every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday is a theme that's continuing for the quarter period. And the theme for Monday, which is today, Monday is dedicated to senior moments as a show, senior moments. And the motto or theme, it reads as Life's Real Wisdom Teachers. And the topic for that Monday show for the next quarter will be Bloodline, Is It Family or a Conscious Mind? I repeat, Bloodline, Is It Family or a Conscious Mind? Now, Tuesday's show is dedicated to young people under 30, and we call it Easy Generation, like E-Z Generation. And the motto theme is Smart Minds Making Waves to the Future. Smart Minds Making Waves to the Future. And I want to say this before I actually talk about the topic for that particular Tuesday show. We're having some young man tomorrow who's a very, very sharp young man. He's studying to be a historian right now. And he has a history way back in the city of East Palo, where I'm born and raised at. You know, I talked to him today. And very, very mild-mannered, but very supercharged in terms of his knowledge and understanding. So we invite you tomorrow to tune in if you got a moment there. And I guarantee you will not be disappointed. This young man is sharper than sharp. His name is Lucayo. Lucayo, okay? And so in any event, the theme for what we have as the Tuesday show, which is tomorrow, the theme is peer-to-peer leadership. Is it discipline compliance to present status, or is it forward thinking in spirit and in forward thinking and spiritual ideals? So that's the theme for tomorrow. Now, Wednesday show, we have again. This is going on for the first quarter for a 3 month cycle, right? So the topic for Wednesday show is blessed to be blessed. And the motto or theme is Miracle Warriors Living the Dream Without Excuse. And the topic for them in that case will be Solutions to Psychological Dependency and Mental, condition of today's slave masters who use social media and religion to control our lives, right? So that will be for Wednesday's show. So I want to say, without further ado, if Shango is available on the phone, would you please chime in and let me know you're there, sir? I assume maybe Shango is not online yet, but that's okay. We will continue on. And I know that he is scheduled to call at this time here, so we'll do some homework and make sure that he's still able to do it, because he's a working man doing his own business and and so forth. And he actually does a lot to help a lot of people. Just bear with this call right now. I'm just making a call to make sure that he is there. So bear with me. And I want to say, too, while I'm doing this here, hold on. Wonderful, wonderful. I really appreciate. We have a great team here with us today. So, when the music finishes, I'll continue. Yes, I want to say that Shango just made contact with him, and he was in the middle of traffic, but he will be calling shortly here. So everything is set to go. In the meantime, I just want to say, from my heart, that we are very fortunate. And for me as a Muslim, I have to say blessed as a fortune, because it's not about superstition. It's about factual reality that there's blessings for those who believe and understand the power of God. Now, I, for the last year, close to a year, have been working as a co-host with the great grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington with the show Booker T. Washington Speaks. And that comes on every Saturday at a time frame would be 8 o'clock Eastern time. It was 9 o'clock, but we moved it to 8 o'clock Eastern time, which would be an hour different here, which would be 7 o'clock in the Central Zone and at 5 o'clock in the Pacific Standard Time West Coast. And this show has been really, for me, a great opportunity to really see a professional person in the professor, which I call him the professor, and he certainly is a professor, historian, professor at the university in Florida, Georgia, excuse me. But it's something that to be learned, to watch a professional in motion. So I'm learning a whole lot, because right now we're going to take the lessons that have been extended and move into our own realm of Life Success Radio. So we can actually start training young people in this idea of learning how to utilize the social media to reprogram their peers to the positive behavior, which is critically important. So everything that that we're doing is with Life Success Radio is designed to conceptually build a future paradise in the vision and in the action of the community of people who have been left behind. And the public audience, that the people in America that suffer the most from being left behind are from the ancestry of the African, black, and certainly we have to be, aware that until we as a country open opportunities and let people fairly compete, we're not really going to be a society of what we call free enterprise, more importantly, free enterprise, because it's about economic building. And we won't be a society that's sort of a free thinking society in the sense that we are accepting everybody's contributions. Now, I want to say that that black people today seem to be a burden on this society in terms of economically. But the thing is that we have answers to this one. See, as the opportunities that we will address from Life Success Radio are designed to engage black people, number one, in the ideas of career pathways, so they and I, which I am already, but they will become tax-paying citizens to help defer the cost that this country has in doling out money for welfare and for other freebies that a lot of people sometimes need help with. So in all fairness, if as we work together, those in leadership of this country who understand that taxpaying citizens are the what we call much needed for offsetting the high costs that we have as a country to maintain our freedom, justice, and equality. So with black people becoming on the tax rolls, it will add value to this country, and hopefully that will end the racism that this country has and towards feeling towards certain people who, they, unfortunately, from the slavery episodes, have been given the perception with a lot of evidence of reality to the perception that we were like kind of like shiftless and lazy, but we really didn't intend that. But circumstances of denied opportunities over a prolonged period kind of gave us a little slow start. So we're going to kickstart ourselves into a new gear, and that's what we're looking forward to this year coming in 2018. So in 2018, America, wake up, get ready for a race, because we're going to get in a race of economic prosperity building with our young people in charge, learning how to be large in the ideas of what it takes to be a businessman and businesswoman. See, we understand these things, that this country here and the world itself is based on economics, and we are engaging our young people for that purpose so they can take responsibility under an economic even playing field. Now, I believe that this even playing field is a reality, even though some people will say it never will be a reality, and you call those people doubting Thomases or negative people, right? But I would say this. I know that America has at its heart a lot more people that are kind and just, as opposed to people who are like, evil and really don't want to see people succeed to their potential. So we're taking the high road, and America represents all the people of this democracy, not just some of them at the top, who actually are running it from a cultural dominant perspective. But see, as Americans, there's an ideal in our behavior that connects us up on the highest principles of what it means to be a human being. So we are pursuing America in that basis with the Life Success Radio and the efforts that we're doing to prepare young people with their social media. Now, Mr. Shango, are you online, Shango, by chance? Okay, not yet. Okay, fine. So, in event, Shango?
No, he's not on yet.
Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. In event, he's calling me shortly, but appreciate it very much. I want to say that Life Success Radio, in its inception, was really, I would say, we were kind of guided by a very wise man. And I say to you, that is the senior great grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington, I call the professor. It was through his wisdom and his experience and his foresight that gave me the chance to use my voice and my vision in my own effort, which is Life Success Radio. And so the point is,
yes,
that
your guess is right. Guest has arrived.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, let me just say to my guest, Shango. All right, can you hear my voice, Shango?
Yes, I can.
Wonderful. Well, Shango, listen, I really appreciate you taking time here, and I want you to deep breathe yourself and don't put pressure on yourself from you having to come through traffic and do what you need to do to get ready for this interview. But it's more than the interview. This is really, you are really our first inaugural interviewee that gave launch to Life Success Radio. Now, I was just sharing before you came on that we are in our last week here under Booker T. Washington Speaks, but I will be having an independent Life Success Radio broadcast, which is going to be all positive. So I just want to let you know you were there in the beginning and you are there in the end, and you are certainly a friend and a person that I have high accolades for, and a lot of experience and positive experiences with you. So today's subject matter, which I'll say again, just for the record for the public, the subject for today's show under what is every Monday, the show on Life Success Radio, the topic is Senior Moments. That's the title show. The theme is Life's Real Wisdom Teachers, which they are. The people who are over 60, as they say, as senior citizens. And the topic for this 3-month cycle is bloodline. Is it family or a conscious mind? So the topic for the night is bloodline. Is it family or a conscious mind? So with that topic in mind, Shango, you certainly are. I would like to ask you to just speak from your perspective to that topic, and I'm going to put you on mute myself so I won't hear any noise in the background. And so go ahead and begin, and I'm going to listen very close.
All right, thank you. I think that it's more consciousness as opposed to just having a bloodline. When we think about blood, to me, it represents nothing more than seawater, since 85% of our body is built around water. So I think it's more of a spiritual connection that we have with one another that puts us together as brothers, fathers, sisters, you know, those things are more, to me, spiritual as opposed to a physical thing as blood, because it's a lot deeper. That's my understanding and how I perceive it. You know, if we want to go back to the Bible, I think somewhere it says that from one man came all, and so all of us have the same, you know, as far as one blood, so we're all connected. But on a deeper level, we're connected by our spirituality to one another, not just some superficial thing. You know, when we call a person brother, it has a lot more deeper meaning than just what people say as a passing thing.
You know, ask you a question, because I was just privy this evening, and I appreciate talking to you earlier. You shared with me a young man that's got back from college, and this is a profound thing that when you share with me, and would you kind of maybe talk a bit about this young man who's going to be on the show tomorrow, interviewed, but information, would you kind of share with us your relationship and how, you know, and what he's doing and what his aims and goals are, please?
Well, actually, I met the young man when he was a baby, you know, and it's really interesting how our relationship started. Unfortunately, his biological grandfather died before he was born. And in the process of him growing up and his mother, we were working at the same facility. And as he was growing and started walking as toddlers do, he would steal my mop and my broom, you know. And I would get frustrated because I say, this little kid, he keeps on bothering me, you know, because I didn't have any grandkids. And him and I talked about it, and I know now that he actually was preparing me to be a grandfather, you know. And I look back on it, and it was a lot of joy involved. And we became connected through the spiritual level, you know. And as he grew, you know, we became closer and very good friends. And I get a chance to sit back and admire him as if he was my biological grandson, although I had met him, you know, and we had no real relationship other than me watching him take my equipment so I couldn't complete my work in time, you know. That's what I'm talking about, is sometimes you develop this spiritual relationship with a person that you can't really explain, you know, but you know that your feelings for him is just as much as you feel for your biological grandkids. And I can say that he's really, every time I talk to him, I get a lot of joy from just having conversations with him, because we talk about so many things on so many different levels, you know.
Now, good question, because I understand that he went to college for a special discipline to be a historian. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. He's in college studying to be an historian. His major is African study and Native American study. And he's a brilliant young man, you know, and he's always been that way, because he started in a school where the emphasis was on black identity and our connection to Africa. So he grew up understanding and internalizing the seven principles of Kwanzaa, you know. So he's very much. I usually look at him as him being a cross between Frederick Douglass and Nat Turner, you know.
Wow, that's a heavy cross there. Frederick Douglass and Nat Turner, man. Man, Frederick Douglass put the words on you, and Nat Turner put the bullets, he put like some pain on you.
Yeah, you know. Yes, sir.
So and you as a grandfather, so you're a grandfather now, like it or not. And so as grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Yes. So how do you feel differently as.
Go ahead, and you were going to say, how do I feel differently about...
No, how do you feel differently in this regard now, him as being, you know, grandfather now, seeing him blossom? What is, like, your feeling inside? You know, because I know how it is, you know, seeing this genius grow up, because he's a super genius. I just talked to him just briefly, and I tell you, I'm intimidated, all right? Go ahead, sir.
Well, watching him develop and grow... would bring joy to any grandfather to see a person develop like that. I'm pretty sure if his grandfather was living, he would be overly joyed to see how to have a grandson like him that has developed his mind and have a deep consciousness for the plight of his people. And every time I'm overjoyed with him, you know, I every time I call his mother and I ask her when he's coming home, because I'm waiting to hear from him some of the things that he's been involved in, and just sit down and listen to him.
I'll tell you, what you're saying right now is that we as a people, as a culture, black people, I'm going to talk specifically to us right now, okay?
Okay, right.
In our communities, we don't give our young people enough credit, the ones who are the good ones. We focus more on the ones who are in troublemakers, and that makes the troublemakers feel like they're special. And then, of course, the good ones, like your grandson, and who've never been in trouble, a lot of times they end up doing things to get in trouble for the attention. So we have to learn, you know, the assets that we have in our community. And I know that he is probably influencing a lot of his peers. His relationship in City of East Palo Alto, is he still connected there in terms of his commitment for some of the things, even though the changes have been, like, profound since he grew up and left? Because now it's no longer like a little black town like it was.
Yes, he's still connected, and I think we talk about it a lot of time, that some of the same students that he went to school with, some of them don't have that deep connection to what really needs to happen in the community as further development of the community, you know. So he still has that connection and that zeal to see things change for the better. And one thing, Brother Mustafa, is that, you know, it's true that a lot of young men like him and young ladies don't get a whole lot of publicity. But at the same time, those that folks consider as troublemakers, we have to understand that they have never had the real exposure of who they really are, you know. And because it's always been layered on with these false perceptions of who they are, you know. We put up these false images, you know, and they get confused along the way, because a lot of them have the same brilliancy, but they're never given the opportunity. Now, this young brother, he was raised in a single family home, you know, just him and his mother. And what she invested in him was her time and energy for him to know who he really is. Who he is, you know. So that's one thing, you know, that we as a people have to take very seriously the development of our young people, and we can't allow the school system to teach them who they are. We have to do that ourselves in order to develop leaders, you know, in the community. And when we talk about leaders, we're talking about leaders with backbone, you know. We have a lot of people that call themselves leaders, but they don't have no backbone. They will go along with any program just to get along, you know, and we don't need that.
And I want to say, I'm not being cynical what I'm saying, but what you say is absolutely right. But a lot of times they had their hand out too, in terms of getting paid.
Well, I wouldn't go there this time, you know. But yeah, they have the hands out, you know, waiting for, you know. And if we really, you know, it's very simple. If we really wanted to take control of our community, we can. Stop buying anything from anybody that's not black. That's simple. If you have to go way across town to buy something from a person that has a black business, then you go there and buy it. If you really want to get your money and have it where it circulates and be able to control your own destiny. Now, people may say, well, that's a racist attitude. No, it's not. It's a practical attitude. If you look at every ethnic group, we're the only people that spend our money with any and everybody. And we don't try to promote within ourselves, because there are small businesses that around in our community that we can patronize, but we choose not to. And we don't have to go around begging other ethnic groups to hire our kids. We can create jobs and hire our own kids to do the jobs at some of the small businesses. You know,
brother,
if we want to do that.
You got my heart. You got my heart, brother. You really got my heart on this one, brother, because this is a plaguing Achilles tendon, Achilles heel with a lot of black people today, right? Because psychological conditioning from, you know, what is the dominant culture has made the standard of beauty and the standard of success be reflected in the perception of what these people who live on the other side of the freeway there in East Palo Alto, we can say Palo Alto by Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that we have to change the perception. And even though, I have a grandfather, he Joe Crummer, he was a cement contractor. He wore his overalls and his concrete boots, and he worked like really, really hard. And when he got off work, he would put on his nice clothes and be fancy in a pink Cadillac with black. It was like, you know, and he would create jobs for young people and elders in the community. So the lostness of what's going on here is that we have to grow these young people today, including your grandson right now, in the ideals of, you know, setting the example to be there for the next generation. Because I'm not going to be here too much longer, I don't think. You know, I would like to be here for 100 plus years, but, you know, I'm 64, and, you know, certainly, you know, life has its way. So you understand what I'm saying, sir?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I think every black man has to take it upon himself to look at some of these young brothers that's coming up and spend a little time with them and talk with them. And give them a different perspective. You know, most of the time when some guys talk to young people, they want to tell them how to be hustlers and pimps, you know, coming out of that old slave master mentality, you know. And we're not that. And we have to take each young black person as our own grandchild, if we're in that age bracket, you know, of being grandparents, and realizing how precious these young lives are, and help reshape it so that they would be able to take on leadership of our communities.
And I say, amen, amen, amen. Now, what do you think about the churches becoming a vital point, point of contact? I'm talking about churches who might have different denominations, opening up the doors to work with people from different churches of different denominations, with people in the community who are reflected of the ones who are like, you know, despondent and dysfunctional. And you talking about, you know, certainly a cross culture of young people and families, right? So, you know, I'm not discriminative in that. I'm looking to see, you think the churches will be able to step up a bit and kind of take some of the load off?
They have to step up. They have no other choice. See, a lot of time, I'm really not into formal religion. I believe that we as a people have to throw away all that old denominationalism, because that didn't exist in the early church, the birth of the early church. You know, there wasn't no denominationalism. That comes about when a lot of people want to be intellectual giants, you know, in the Bible and stuff like that, you know. So, like, they got to get rid of all that and really concentrate on working for the betterment of their community. When I was growing up, you know, I come from a home, you know, my father was a deacon. My two brothers were ministers. My nephew, my great nephew, is a minister. I studied theology, but I didn't go into that, you know. But I realized that we still have to work together, whatever denomination that they may claim, because they're supposed to be all doing one thing, that's to help people to become better human beings through the experience of what they call salvation.
I'm hearing you loud and clear. And, you know, and this is for, see, I practice the faith of Islam, but I take it as actually doing the human thing, right? Being human with whatever you're dealing with. Because I, as a police officer, I didn't make discrimination. I dealt with people as human beings. As a Muslim, I deal with people as human beings. I don't see the difference, only the behavior. Now, when I see the behavior that is acting like something evil, I'm going to call a spade, even if it's my mother, it's my brother, whatever, okay? This is what we have to do in terms of that. Now, what I'm going to is this. The greater works that is talked about in the Bible, the greater works that Jesus talked about, greater works you will do than I. So that's putting the responsibility on us today to do greater works. And in our community, we need that. What's your thought?
I would have to agree with you. We are supposed to do greater work, but in order to do greater work, you have to get in tune with the Creator. You know, it's not something that you just do on your own, because you have to have the mind of the Creator and understand what his will is for you to do and how to go about doing it. See, a lot of time we do things disorganized, but if we take time and reflect and look at nature, how everything falls in place, then that's because it's in tune with the Creator, so it's naturally to do that. But we have all these other things that come between us, such as ego, you know, pride, you know, where you don't you think you're better than others. You know, you got to get rid of all that stuff in order to do really greater work.
Shango, I wanna make a comment here. This broadcast here is brought to you by Reality Books, publisher of the classic book Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. This show here is called Life Success Radio, and we are interviewing Shango here, who is a resident of California, Northern California, and a little town by Stanford University called East Palo Alto. So this interview is being conducted, and he was our inaugural interviewee in my first show here with Life Success Radio. And now if we prepare to wind ourselves down this week, we'll be having our own radio blog number differently, but I'll share it with you through Booker T. Washington Speaks on the Saturday evening program. Now, Shango, I want to say that I noticed that it seems that the Hispanic people and the Chinese people and the Samoan people and the white people, or the I shouldn't say white people because they're not white people like that. I would call people who have the very pigment less skin, right? There's less pigmentation. They seem to have organized systems that work better in a collective than black people. Do you notice that and do any comparison analysis?
Well, I don't really look at it that way because in order for me to achieve what I need to achieve is that I can't focus on what they might be doing. And I understand that we are living in a hostile environment. And living in this environment cause us to do things against ourselves sometimes. But I never focus in on what the Asian is doing, what the Hispanic is doing. I'm focusing on what I need to do to help my people, you know. And too many times we want to do these comparisons. It's almost like in a family where you have one child that might be really adapt to science and mathematics, and the other one struggles. You know, you have to put time in with the one that struggles and look at what are the things that's causing them to struggle. And we usually struggle because we have misinformation and false concepts that have been invaded by outside source to have us to think negatively of one another. And we have to get away from that.
Yeah, you know, and that's a very good point you're making. So the invasion of the negativity, it likes come through the TV a lot. I see, I watch TV sometimes. I don't like it really because I don't see a lot of people that look like me. And I tell my grandson, who, you know, sometimes watches, listen, don't get caught up in the TV. You know, you want to read books and do like this because the TV is psychological warfare, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of using imagery to put in a superiority complex in the environment. And so I just know that if we don't get control of our communities and start having conversations, I mean real conversations like we're having here, we are going to disappear as a cultural group. And when you look up, we'll all be acting like we are not even conscious of Africa's originality. We'll think that the world began when we became white people. You understand, sir?
Yeah.
And So I'm just asking you the question, how do you think that we can mobilize these young people more importantly than a lot of the elders? But elders are important too, so, and I'm an elder as well. So what do you think what we're going to need to move the young people to the right path to get them ready for the next run on freedom? That's my question.
I think we have to put in the time with them, and we have to go back in history, study history, and after studying it, have them that they understand how to maneuver and not get caught up in some of the traps that have been set up by the dominant society to keep us in bondage. We have to, and the way that you do that is that you have to take the shackles off of your mind and know that you're able to achieve whatever you desire that's going to be beneficial for you and for your community. It has to become a living part of you. It's not just something that you say. You know, you have to live it. You have to internalize it.
I have a question. Can you please elaborate on some of those traps that you referenced on your comment there? What are you talking about, those traps? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the traps of where they come into our community and drop sacks of dope and tell you, well, you can make some money. You know, you have to look at that and see that if you're going to do that to your people, that you still have shackles on your mind. If you're going to take a young sister and put her on the street, you have shackles on your mind. You're still a slave. You got to get rid of that kind of thinking. If you're going to abuse your woman, you still got shackles on your mind, because you're taking on the same persona that your slave master have exploited our people.
Wow, that's deep, sir. So we actually have transformed a lot of us into slave masters. That's what you're telling me. I'm hearing you, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Listen, I want to say to you, because right now it's about a few minutes to the top of the hour, and I know that we had an X number of time, but I don't want to, you know, hold you up from what you business-wise have to do, because I know that you're a busy man in business. You have a few more minutes to talk, or do you want to wind down, and then we can, you know, go to the future with the future new show we are going to do?
Well, I can wind down, because I can, you know, it's probably better for me to wind down right now and then go on to the future shows that you have stored.
Wonderful. Well, let me just say this. In your departure, we really appreciate you helping Life Success Radio get its feet on the ground in our inaugural first speech with you. That's a fact. As we go through our closing down week, you are you know, coming through on this Monday discussion, and we really appreciate you. So you have a blessed day, evening, life, and I'll talk to you soon, and we look forward to your grandson tomorrow on the show, so I'll follow up with him later. So you have a pleasant evening, and I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Okay, then. You too, and I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me.
Oh, wonderful, sir. I'm learning a lot. I'm taking notes. I'll talk to you soon. Yes, sir. So, audience, yeah. I'm telling you that we just got off the phone here with Shango, and a very, very, very insightful interview. I really appreciate presentation, I will say this one, presentation and some interview questions, but basically, this is time for us to start doing things for ourselves. again, because our young people are demanding it. So Life Success Radio, sponsored by Reality Books, publisher of the American classic Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, which is headed by the senior great grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington. We extend our deepest appreciations to him and the family, and we will be talking to you soon. Life Success Radio will be surfacing as one of your major networks in the future. So don't be alarmed. Just say that that God's promise is true, and we'll appreciate you. So I'm going to close out with a song that I had written, and I say this on the last few times I get on this this soapbox. It's very important. This song I wrote when I first became, prior to become a police officer in 81, and then in 83 I became a cop. But this song I wrote, and it's very special. So I'd like to say it before I close out. So I'm going to not sing it. I'm just going to say it. I tried to be a star, but I didn't get very far. I pretended to be a saint, but my friends told me, man, you ain't. After years of struggle and taking double, I finally came to realize I needed something more. I turned to heaven. I prayed. The Creator opened up the door. The first thing He did was to make me strong, and now I know that I belong on earth so I can give a little more. That's why He opened up the door. It's peace on us if we believe that all together we can achieve. He made the earth. He made the sun. He made us all to grow as one. We have to save our children. So take the time to train your mind to see the signs that our Creator is one. Tell the truth, our Creator is one. God bless you. Good evening. Assalamu alaikum.
And now a brief message from our sponsor. Reality Books presents Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, a message that will change America. Buy your copy today. $20 is all it costs, plus $5 postage and handling. To order your copy of the book written by the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message. Include your full name and how many books you would like to purchase. Send to area code 706-399-5006. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Send your text message, including your full name and how many books you would like to purchase, to area code 706-399-5006.